Have there been times in your life when you wanted to just give up? Just call it quits. Cut your losses. Walk away from something that has just been too hard. Too demanding. Something that's taken just too long before you see any kind of result. Sometimes I can hear my dad whispering in my ear, when the going gets tough, the tough get. Or he would say, quitters never win and winners never. Did you grow up with my dad too? Paul says, for his sake I suffered the loss of all things, and regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, one that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the power of His resurrection. Oh, not that I've somehow attained the resurrection of the dead, or have already obtained or reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. That's pretty good for a guy who probably is chained to a wall in a Roman dungeon. Not bad for a guy who probably just that morning had been tortured. One who knew very well the deprivations and the isolation of being in prison for the sake of the gospel that he sought to preach and to share. Oh, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, so I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. Would you say that with me? I press on. To persevere, to persist. I don't know, I remember back in the 70s, and I'm dating myself here, what did we say then? What was the catchphrase? You got to just keep on trucking, or keep on keeping on. The word hero is totally overplayed in our time, but this is one definition that I heard. A hero is no more brave than anyone else. She's just brave for 5 minutes longer. You see the point. I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You ready? I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. But it's hard. It's hard. Here now, living in an atmosphere of trouble in the world, addiction, almost everywhere I look. You probably know this, but the Everett Police Department has consistently tried to help us, help members of our congregation, been here on our property. Drugs are available for purchase within one block of where we are right now. And the favorite place of many who use them is our parking lot. It's hard. It's hard because we live in this atmosphere of trouble. There's kind of an exhaustion that comes amid storms and fires and earthquakes. The weather is changing and the forests are burning and the ground is shaking. I press on, but it's hard. There is this atmosphere of trouble. There's a kind of failure of intellect and integrity and compassion and stewardship among the leaders of the world. I press on. I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You ready? I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a guy I know in our congregation, and Don't try to figure out who he is. But I really like him. He's not particularly pious. You know, he's not real churchy cat. But his life's hard. He's been through all manner of pain and loss. I mean, you can take a slice through work. You can take another cut through family. You can take another slice through health. And every way you measure that, it's hard. And so I asked him once, you know, how do you do it? How do you keep going? And he smiled at me and he says, well, you just have to. You just have to. I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Before there was Barnum and Bailey, the ancient Romans invented the circus. And I didn't know that. The spectacle of that, the circus, the performers and the impressive feats of skill and strength and movement and balance and wow. At its high point, just before it started to truly devolve into this grisly, ghastly execution of martyrs and Christians of all kinds, at its high point, they called it the Circus Maximus. How's your Latin? Really an ancient version of the greatest show on earth. And all of that reaching its high point with one particular event. Do you know what it was? Maybe you saw the movie. It's the chariot races. Those were always brought the whole city together to see how this would play. And the charioteers, oh my. I wonder if Paul ever went and attended these races. The charioteers were renowned and celebrated. They were adored. The winners were lauded. The losers, well, they just buried them. The charioteers would strap themselves into these light two-wheeled contraptions. Can you see them in your mind's eye? They were little more than wheels and something to fit out there between the two horses that would drag them around and around in the circle. So how would the charioteer steer this vehicle? Right, they would have reins, right? Only instead of holding those reins in their hands and kind of drive like you and I might drive, they would be wrapped around their bodies. I guess so they could hold on for dear life, right? So it works pretty good. With just a little twist of the hip, you could make that chariot go and get around your competitor. But of course, what would happen if you got distracted? There's no rear view mirror in these. What if you looked behind? You were dead. I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You ready? I press on. I press forward for the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Had Paul seen one of those races with his own eyes? A couple of Sundays ago, I came early like I usually do. And at one point, I heard the door open and I looked up and Taryn had arrived. And she smiled like Taryn always does. But she came in and I couldn't help kind of turning my head a little bit. As I looked at her, she just somehow looked different to me. She moved awkwardly, and she kind of walked funny, and Taryn, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I ran a marathon last night, and I can't feel my feet. she went on, she showed me her award. You know, every participant gets something that they can wrap around their neck, and it was this big, heavy, metallic thing that had the name of the race on it, and at one end, it had this bottle opener, you know? It was a very cool thing. How long is a marathon? A half marathon is 13. A full marathon is just right around 26 miles. Where does that word come from? 490 years before Christ, marathon was a place. It was a great plain about 26 miles from the great city of Athens. The people of Athenia knew that it was an important place, and so when the Persians landed there, there was a terrible battle. And in fact, the people of Athens knew that if they lost, they would be finished, because the Persians would come to town, and that would be the end of their civilization. And so this fierce and monstrous conflict played out on the plain of Marathon. There was blood and fire and horror and unimaginable losses, until finally, barely able to stand, after having been so outnumbered, the Athenians were victorious. So somebody had to tell the people back at the city, right? So who's left standing? Pheidippides was his name. So he gets sent back to the great city with the good news. But how does he get there? The horses are all dead. Everything is smashed. All he's got are these. And so he runs. And he runs, and he runs, and he runs. And finally, he gets to the city, and he bursts into the assembly and interrupts the meeting where there are leaders and governors and senators and counselors, all there wringing their hands, worried about the outcome of this conflagration. And he offers just three words. He says, "Rejoice, we conquered." And then Pheidippides fell down dead. And the historians say that he died with a big smile on his face. I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Ready? I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. Christ has conquered. Driven by joy, driven by thanks, driven by this good news, we press on, we keep on, we run. Even though we know the battles aren't done, we press on, even though there are still hard places to pass through. Duh. Paul understood that dichotomy. He understood well that reality, that it's already but not yet. That things, the way things are, is not the way they should be. And so we're always in that liminal, that in-between place. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. And then the coolest words ever. I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me His own. One more time. I press on, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.